This ain't something else. This is this.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the This Is This podcast. I am your host, Nikki Bundles, Nikki Buns, Nikki Numbers, and Nikki Biscuits. Coming at you from beautiful, breezy Beverly Hills, California. I am your Halloween homie. That's right. It's Halloween. Ooh, spooky in here. And I am your Halloween homie, like I said. And I'm here to give you all the straight, hard truth, the facts, because whether you like it, whether you need it, this is where you come to get it. Welcome back to episode number 25, Still Alive, Hand Jive. I got my boy Tony Sly in the building. Tony Sly, give him a what up.
Yeah, there's a lot to digest with what you just said, actually, but like a lot going on.
You don't like my intro?
No, I like it. The Nikki Biscuits thing, the hand jive thing.
Wait, do me a favor. Shut that door because we're getting a little echo. We're going to keep it rolling. We're going to roll. Before we get into everything, let me plug. Go over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever you do your podcast consuming, and download the show, rate the show, review, but most importantly, share the show. Sharing is caring. Word of mouth really matters. I appreciate every one of you that have done so thus far. For my socials, it's This Is This Podcast on Instagram. This Is This Podcast on YouTube. TITPcast on Twitter. And I'm on TikTok as well because I'm drippy. I'm Gen Z'd out, bet, rizzed out. And I'm for the youth. So go over there to TikTok and roast me, boast me, toast me. They hate me over there. I got to be honest with you. Tony Sly, have you seen any of the comments over there?
No, but listen, this is, you know, you said you're Gen Z'd out, and I'm glad you're aligning there because here's the problem right now.
I'm finally just accepting, like, you have to be with the youth.
Well, here's the thing is that Boomer, the age of Boomer has been moved up to the age of 40. This is what's happened.
So wait, Boomers are now considered,
Boomers. Yes. Dude, if you're Gen X, you're a Boomer.
Oh, Gen X for sure.
But like we're riding that, dude. Riding
I thought
that.
Boomers were like from the 50s.
Yeah, okay, they used to be. It used to be about age, right? And it still kind of is.
Oh, so now it's about attitude.
It's really about attitude. I mean, you could be a Boomer and you could be like 18, dude. You know. So, but here's the thing: if you are 40, you're automatically assumed to be a Boomer until proven otherwise.
That's not fair.
That's the way it is, bro. You just got to, you know, you got to just prove everybody wrong.
But someone once asked me or was worried about the age. Situation here in Hollywood. So a friend of mine, someone I knew, were telling people that they were younger than they actually were. And I thought that was kind of odd. But when she asked me, like, are we cool in this scene? And I was like, it doesn't really matter about your age. Like, we're always going to be cool. I really do feel that way. Like, do you think kids consider us not cool or you not cool? I mean, Tony Sly, you're in the hip hop world, you're making music videos, you're over there with the AI, you're over there with the crypto. So, like, you're part of the movement. You're part of the zeitgeist of the youth.
I think that
so
Gen Y...
So even if you're 40, I'm saying even when you were 40 or when you get to 40, are you going to be an old boomer? No, I don't think so. I don't think that's right.
I mean, I would hope not. I think there are a couple of people our age that are bracing that edge
just going full boom.
You know, I think our generation, no matter where I was, grade school, high school, we were always a little bit more slackers, let's be honest. We were always a little bit more, cared more about pop culture than we did grades, cared more about, you know, being real and, you know, I mean, no, really, right? And like, you know, I think that there's a correlation to being coming of age during the Bush years, right? Because any of us, let's call us classic liberals, when we came of age under Bush, it was like, oh, this whole thing's actually fucked, right? It was like he got elected again. It was like, oh, this
sure,
is fucked.
Dude,
between 9/11, two Bush elections, I think our generation was forever sealed as like, ah, fuck it, you know?
And
like,
we do have a fuck it
sort
of mentality.
We have a fuck it. Like, listen, we're not always pushing the edge of society. Everybody knows that. I don't think we're going to be pushing civilization. Probably the generation after us will.
Gen Zers?
Yeah. Because these guys are born into a generation which we were the transition of. So, like, we're the litmus test, bro. We got all the autoimmune diseases. We got all the psychological problems. The next generation, like, they've been drinking that water that we started drinking when we were, like, 12 or 13 that was poisonous, right?
But are they as fun as we were?
We're the most fun. That's why they love us.
Yeah, I really do think we're the most fun. We know how to have a good time. Speaking of good times, it is Halloween. Halloween, to me... doesn't mean much these days. I could really care less about Halloween, but it is fun to watch everyone else get dressed up. I don't want to be a part of it. I'm not a costume kind of kid, especially anymore. Growing up, were you a costume kind of kid? Do you remember any specific Halloween memories? What did you do? What was a Halloween in the Sylvester household like?
Well, I mean, Halloween in suburban Philadelphia was straight popping, dude. Yeah, fucking for sure. Popping. It was like pillowcase popping.
Yeah. All right. Pillowcases. Like, we used to carry around pillowcases instead of bags. Yeah, you would just fill up your pillowcase.
Fill it up, dude.
For sure. For sure.
No, I always went as really ridiculous. Like, I went as a lawyer once, you know? Like, I was always trying to impress the moms, you know? And, like,
you wanted a laugh from the moms. Like, oh, my God, he's so cute.
I wanted extra pity candy is what I wanted, you know, like, sure. Yeah, that was what I was going for.
You're very calculating as a child. You're very 100%. Yeah, 100%. You're very calculating individual. Now, did you guys go as a family? Did you go with your boys? Did you go with your girl? Like, what did you do?
Now, we kind of, you know, it depended on the age. Right?
Of course.
I remember there's five of us. You know, when I was cool enough, I went with my brother and his friends, but like midway through that, he dropped me.
How much older is your brother?
4 years.
4 years. So he was a senior. You were a freshman. Not a good vibe. I mean, that's
actually I was in eighth grade. He was a senior.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. I mean, that's got to be rough for him to take his little brother out trick or treating. That's rough.
No, it's no go. No go.
Yeah, going around collecting candy. It was always fun. It was like always like you were off the leash a little bit, especially in high school when your parents weren't there with you doing the Halloween thing.
I know you were bringing little packs of PBR with you in your backpack. I know you were. You had a pack of marbles and you're like 17-year-old Nicky Bundles.
17 for sure, but I was still smoking ciggies back then. We were bad kids. When you look when you look back on it, like we weren't really, we were just wild, man. We were just, I think we were introduced to adult things way too soon in life. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, alcohol. Like it really did happen too fast. But I wouldn't change it for a thing, honestly. What was I going to say? Oh, Halloween is fun and all fun and games, right? But the night before, did you guys fuck around? Mischief Night, for people that don't understand, I think Mischief Night is an East Coast thing. It's not, people don't understand what that is out here. I've mentioned it to people from California. I've mentioned it to people even from like Virginia, Delaware. They don't even have Mischief Night.
Virginia, Delaware? Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they do, dude. I swear. I think it's a fucking Philly thing.
Well, I could see your argument about the West Coast. If you do something like that out here, even as a kid, you will get shot and killed by a motherfucker.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think that you don't want to fuck with people's shit out here, right? On the East Coast, you could go and egg a house. You could throw a teepee up on the tree.
Oh, for sure.
You could do all kinds of crazy shit and you're gonna get away with it. The cops aren't even gonna come.
Wait, look at this. Mischief Night is a tradition celebrated in several parts of the United States, including New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and the Midwest. Wow. Okay, so I guess it is.
Yeah, but you were kind of right. No, you were right. Generally speaking, though, yeah, New Jersey, it does mention PA and Delaware. Yeah, they don't even got New York up there. That's the pocket. Maybe. New Jersey, PA, and Delaware is the pocket, dude.
I think it's like a lot of just suburban angst. Like kids like need to let loose a little bit. It's almost like the purge for kids. Like I don't remember throwing eggs. I think throwing eggs was a little even rough for me. I would never throw an egg at someone's house. I hope not. But we definitely used to like ring and run.
Yeah, that was big. Thing and dish.
Yeah. TPing was also a big thing. The toilet paper was a big thing. Soaping up cars was huge.
I remember that was a thing.
I remember like dropping backpacks out of my second story bedroom window filled with like, you know, all the Mischief Night things and then walking out the front door past my mom because like I didn't have anything on.
Right.
And like, you know, of course there were a couple PBRs in there, warm PBRs.
One year I stood patrol, actually. I wanted to see what it was like on the other side, actually, and kind of stand patrol.
That's fun. And, that is really fun. Catching kids.
Yeah, but you know what? I got a real taste of what being a police officer was, and it was not fun. It's just like you're just looking for trouble all night. You get in this weird mindset where you're like looking at other kids your age, and you're like, I'm gonna make sure you get in trouble.
Know? Did you feel like a little bit of a snitch, I guess?
And it was fun. Listen, that feeling is probably as fun as like stealing. Like being the guy who's like, I'm gonna catch you when you steal and I'm gonna get you fucked up. Like I think it's a twisted mindset I got friends who are becoming cops, but I think there's a little bit of a twisted mindset if you're really into it, you know?
like, why do you want to catch people?
Yeah, like, why are you so into that, you know? Like, it's not...
I do think you make a good point, though, for that, because people do assume that cops are enjoying it a little too much, like, but they stand behind the saying of, like, oh, I'm just doing my job.
Right.
But you didn't really get forced in that job. You kind of just did it on your own. And there's a sickness to police officers. I do agree with that. But we do need them.
Yes, 100%.
I don't know if you were around during the whole defund the police thing, but I think we do need police.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I don't know if you were around during the Middle Ages when you could just get raped and killed and fucking.
For sure.
No, I mean, the whole idea of a private force, I mean, let's be honest, they do protect... the priority is the ultra wealthy. The priority is the most expensive shit. They really
do you think that? Like,
yes,
you
I
think,
do.
Like,
I do.
Well, I think when it comes to towns, like Beverly Hills is a lot cleaner than, let's say, East Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I don't think cops are individually not helping poorer people based off of...
They
wouldn't stop a rape of a poor person as opposed to a rich person? I don't believe that.
I
know that's a very specific, probably never would happen. Like, how would that even
play out? Dude, I think if you get a call, you get two calls at the same time. One's in the hills, and there's a break-in, and one's in Hollywood, and motherfucker's with a knife, and he's in the Starbucks. I'm shitting you not. I think they're going to go to the hills first. I think they're going to go to the hills because remember, taxes pay for the cops. The biggest taxes are coming from the wealthy. I mean, you can really draw the line here. Not to be necessarily suspicious, conspiratorial, but I mean, it all goes back to the money, I think. That's my personal opinion.
Sure. So I guess it's really not just their job. There are human beings.
Well, yes,
I think people try to act like cops aren't human beings anymore, that they're like these robotic killers just like you know, basing everything off of race or wealth and inequality and going, oh, we're going to help this rich person. I don't know, Tony. I don't even like to believe something like that. That's like...
Maybe you're a little bit of that boomer I was talking about.
I guess you're right. I guess I am becoming more and more like a boomer. Did you watch the World Series?
It's bowling?
The World Series. Do you know who won? Do you know who was in the World Series?
Fucking Dodgers, bro.
But who were they playing?
The Phillies. No, the Yankees. No, I know. You know what's crazy? I saw a bunch of people with Yankees. Bro, I don't know what they're doing out here. Why are you coming out here with the Yankees gear on, bro? Well,
there's so many Yankees fans out here, though.
I think they flew in. I saw motherfuckers that looked like they were not from
the
here.
Game?
Yeah, with their jerseys and shit. Like, if you fly, this is the thing. If you fly into New York, and you roll up in, what is it, fucking Bronx with your Dodgers? Bro, they're going to beat you.
I know.
Like, I don't know why.
It's true.
It's interesting that LA people let that slide.
Well, there are a lot of fights at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, okay.
But it's mostly like, it's mostly when it's based in a very serious rival. Like, the Yankees aren't necessarily the Dodgers' rival, but like, when the San Francisco Giants come here, there's big beef between the Giants and the Dodgers. Mm. And now it's actually switching from the Padres to the Dodgers. I could see you falling asleep.
Oh, yeah.
I could tell you. Really.
The eyes are glazing over.
Yeah, it's not really a thing like to wear other jerseys. I would never do that. I was always terrified to do that. But I had to do that here because I live here now. So I went to go watch a Phillies game here. And I had my Phillies jersey on. And like, yeah, you do
Lenny
feel...
Lenny Dykstra fucking...
yeah, I had my Dykstra. It's actually the batting practice mesh jersey.
Nice.
But you do feel like you're kind of under everyone's watch.
Yeah,
like,
everyone's like,
fuck this dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is scary. My buddy that just was out here producing whatever, blah, 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 he's a Yankees fan. He went to the first two games of the World Series because he's connected in some way. He didn't pay for the tickets, blah, blah, blah. But he said, like, after game one, when he was talking shit, like, when they were up, and then the Dodgers came back to win, he said in the parking lot, it did get a little, like, just a little shady.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he
yeah.
felt like he better, like, take his hat off or just move a little quicker.
Dude, I just think, listen, this is what happened to me, okay? My brother bought me this really fucking cool vintage Eagles, you know, that Kelly green, glistening jacket.
Yeah,
right?
Like a starter
sick.
Jacket.
It was
almost.
Yeah, sick. And I wore it to the Kroingben concert. Remember Kroingben? You know,
of course.
I wore it to the concert thinking, all right, you know, I didn't even realize I was signaling anything.
Where were
you?
Here?
Yeah, Hollywood Bowl. And like behind
did we go to
me,
the same show? We were at
maybe,
show.
I don't know. Yeah, actually,
this year?
I don't think it was that good, to be honest with
this
you.
Year?
But,
this
last
year?
Last year. No,
oh, okay.
No, 2021. Okay. And, some guy behind me, some drunk, like he's like a dad too,
he's
right?
Because
his kids. No, he's like, fuck Philly. And I was like, that's weird. I was like, oh. And it didn't occur to me that I've been wearing this Eagles jacket. And then he starts touching me in my back. And I look back and the kid's like, sorry, dude, sorry.
Oh,
and the whole
God.
Concert was, fuck Philly. And I was like, I'm done with this, bro.
Yeah,
this is like putting yourself on an opposing team.
Yeah, you don't want
enemy territory.
You don't want to have a target on your back.
It's,
so like why
crazy.
Wear the sports stuff? Yeah, I'm not a big I don't really wear the sport. I wear the hat, but you wear like a Dodger or usually I've seen you in a Dodgers
no,
hat.
No, I rep the LA
an
hat.
An all black Dodgers hat. That's
you
your
and
vibe.
I didn't rep the New York hat. When I was in New York, I rep the Philly hat, to be honest with you.
Good.
Out here, I think it's important to rep where you're at. You know,
am I wearing my Dodgers hat or my Phillies hat right now? I really don't know.
Dodgers. Yeah.
Well, I do bleed Dodgers blue, as everyone knows. Yeah, so the World Series came and gone. I thought it was a great series. I know you're not really into it, but Dodgers did win the World Series. They have a parade coming up tomorrow. Not into the parades here. I feel like, first off, the city is way too spread out. It's hard to actually have a good parade.
No,
where
and
the
real
is
parade's
it?
Gonna happen like 500 feet from here, and it's gonna be crazy. They
that
have
is
like
true.
100 porta potties lined up on every street, bro.
Oh, I didn't
West
go
Hollywood
down.
Parade?
I didn't go down Santa Monica yet.
I was cruising, bro.
How'd you get here today?
I walked.
Oh, you walked there.
Yeah, bro, I got to walk. See, here's the problem. I'm not a boomer in mindset, but I'm a boomer in my body. So I got all kinds of
You are blood. Very it's like crazy. Conscious about like moving your body and what you put in
you
your
know
body
why I'm
most
conscious?
Of the time. Most
I
of the
got,
time.
I got fucking issues, bro. And they compound and it's fucked up.
So. And the older you get, the worse you get. We really do sound like boomers now. We're like talking
I know,
about our
ailments. I know. No, because our bodies are like cars, bro. You got to fucking keep servicing them and shit. And you could get a dud for a car. But real quick, this is what I got to ask you because we're talking about sports here. I used to be into them at one point.
What were you into?
Well, the peak for me was Allen Iverson, Dikembe Mutombo.
So basketball.
That was the peak, early 2000s basketball. But dude, something has changed in sports. I think that there is some sort of corporatization which has happened in the past 20 years, which it's hard for me to watch a football game because of how it looks on the TV, the colors of the jersey. Something's happened.
It's too corporate?
The aesthetic of all these major sports has gotten too plastic for me. And I think the players are affected. I'm sorry, but you don't got fucking John Crooks anymore in baseball, bro.
No, you don't.
You don't got Eric Lindroses in hockey.
No, you don't.
You don't got Scottie Pippins or fucking Rodney,
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. And I'm not saying that these athletes now are actually quite incredible, let's be honest.
I think the athleticism has gone up, but yes, there's a pussification of the sports.
And there's a lack of style and even when AI was popping, remember.
I like the word plastic, though. I think that makes a lot of sense. It's very just manufactured and there's a phoniness to it when it comes to it.
Yeah, and they're all.
And they don't have like an allure, though, anymore, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think that's a little bit has to do with social media, too, because we get to see all our favorite sports players all the time. Like, you never saw John Kruk unless you were at the game.
You had to be at the game.
Yeah.
To be a game.
For sure.
To be a game.
Have you ever been on the field? Like the
Phillies?
Yeah.
I've been to a couple games. I never was on the field, no.
For sure. Was your family big, like your parents?
No.
No, they weren't.
Okay, this is what happened. We grew up, my grandmother, my dad's mom was a huge Phillies fan, huge, crazy Phillies fan. My grandfather on my mom's side was a big Eagles fan, so we watched the Eagles at their house. But that was more about eating chicken wings and shit.
And just going there.
Yeah,
of course.
Then somehow...
Your parents fell out of it.
My dad was never into sports. My mom became this Eagles nut. I don't even understand how. I mean, she's like, she can't miss
my mom's kind of like that now when it comes to like basketball because it's her boyfriend, though. It's like, it's like she got into it because of that. But maybe because your mom just wanted to get into something bigger than her. That's why people like sports. Like, it becomes like it's a family. It's like it's bigger than you.
Yes.
So it takes your worries and your pain away for a little bit because you're worrying about something larger.
That's a great point. And also, what's crazy, dude, is you can have conversations with, if you know sports, you can have conversations with almost anybody. So I just obviously started working in sports in different video aspects. And like, so now I know a little bit about Caleb Williams and this guy and that
you
guy.
You know the new guys. Yeah. You hear these names more and over and over.
Yeah. And I can be like, oh yeah, he played a crappy game. Cause like I had to edit a reel and like, I'll be on the golf course and they'll be like, yeah, man.
You
and,
play golf though. You like golf, but I guess you don't watch professional golf.
No, definitely not.
Have you ever been to like a Masters or anything like that?
No.
But you used to play?
Yeah, but I play like street golf, bro. Street golf is different, bro. You call up our boy Tommy. He'll tell you about street golf.
Yeah, I know. He likes to go. Yeah, it's a big thing out here because even Justin likes to go.
And I got to link up. I got to link up with him.
Let's go out on the green. Yeah. It's like more just about like, shooting the shit. Obviously, all my buddies play from back home. They're big in the golf game.
Yeah.
I've been maybe on one golf course and we were in Cabo because we were there for like something else, but I didn't even play. I just like went and like, turtled it up,
bro,
just like smoked weed and whatever.
But if you can play, man, that's a bit of a universal language that you can use anywhere. So it's
true.
Like you fly, you go on a wedding in fucking Fiji, bro, and there's a golf course, you show up, they're going to pair you with three random motherfuckers and you guys are going to be bonded for life.
Well, that's what they say.
Golf is a sport of bonding, dude, and you meet people and you become
friends. It's about
like
making deals. Like they say more deals are done on the golf course than in the boardroom, for sure. And I totally believe it.
I played six holes before I even knew it with... Martin Lawrence's agent, bro. Before I even knew it,
What did you say? How did you find that out?
Because he was interested. He's more interested in my brother. He was like, what do you do? And then he was asking us what we do. And then...
Your brother was there with you.
Yeah. I always got from my brother, yeah. And we're like, what do you do? He's like, I manage talent. I was like, what talent, bro? He's like, blah, 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 Martin Lawrence. I was like,
just throwing that in there.
All right, man.
Bad boys for life.
Yeah, that's cool. I got a couple things to squeeze over to him.
I love Martin Lawrence. He's coming out with the new Blue Streak.
Real quick, though, on the plane back from Hungary, I saw Bad Boys, I guess, 2 or 3. Now that, like, these guys look
I've
super
only
bloated
ever
and
seen
shit.
One.
But like, bro, I didn't even.
I think that's four. I think that's four, must bro, be the last one.
I didn't even listen to it. I was watching on somebody else's monitor. You know how you can get like start watching.
Yeah.
And like, yo, I peeped the whole thing. Will Smith, dude, yo, he, I think he's did him blown. Dirty. No, but he did it. He did Martin Lawrence dirty. All the scenes are Martin Lawrence getting clowned on, dude.
That's the thing.
He
though.
Did him dirty in this one. And Martin, yo, Martin Lawrence is supposed to be kind of like, yeah, he's a little bit of that character, you know, but he's still
well,
like
well, Mike is the cool
and,
one.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And yes.
What the hell is
I forget his name. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I know it's Mike Lowry. It's obviously Will Smith.
Yeah.
Fuck, but you're right. I guess in the first one, he was like, Mike would try to get on him, but then Martin Lawrence would kind of get the best of him.
Always,
a bit.
Always.
Yeah, so now he's clowning.
Bro, the last scene is him like naked on top of a skyscraper about to jump off.
Martin Lawrence?
Yeah, and like Will Smith is like, get down from there, man. He's like the fucking savior. And then Martin what? Lawrence is like hugging him and shit. I'm just like, yo, this is wrong to do this to our guy.
Do
bro.
You think it's because the whole Will Smith slap thing?
Dude,
and they were like, Will was like, I can't have myself being anything but the hero. Yeah. In this, I can't be clowned on. My image is about to be ruined. Like, really, like,
yeah,
he
yeah.
really got fucking. I, you know, I love Will Smith because he's part of growing up and he's part of pop culture, whatever. Great in some things, other things I don't really know about. Like, I would never watch Bad Boys 2, 3, or 4. I've only really seen one. But I think Will Smith really did himself a disservice with that, especially when it comes to comedians. Like, he's yeah. supposed to... Martin Lawrence is a fucking comedian.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy yeah. that he did that to Chris Rock. It really is.
I know. Well, here's the thing.
When you look back on that, you're like, that was fucking wild.
Well, here's... I hear... You know, I'm sure you have an opinion on this.
I'm sure I do.
Yeah, we always have an opinion. Where I think things are really screwy right now with these legacy actors who... These legacy actors are like a politicians, bro. They just keep holding on. They won't open it up. So these legacy Hollywood actors, man, they're just crafting... They're wielding the industry to facilitate and funnel different characters. So it's like it's never necessarily about the movie or the role. It's about what... that can create as a trajectory for the rest of their career, which there's a strategy to that, and I understand it, but I think it's a reason why a lot of these movies with these old heads, they're not cool, bro, and they're always aiming for something else. They're always aiming to, like you
said.
So
it's not really about the art. It's not really about the movie.
I don't think so.
Of course not. No, it's like, yeah, okay. So like when I said about like he's doing this because his reputation was a little tarnished.
Yeah.
So he probably like was in the writer's room like, I don't know about this, man. I don't know if I could be doing this.
Yeah. Yo, I got actually good news for you.
Here we go.
Interesting
first,
news.
Okay, so not good. Interesting.
No, it's actually great. So I told you about my most recent mentor and collaborator, Mark Pellington.
Mark Pellington, boy, he does
Pearl
the music
Jam,
video. Yeah, Pearl Jam
you
videos.
You too. Deadline came out with an article today. He's got a movie with fucking Bryan Cranston, dude.
Really?
They're going into production soon. I haven't talked to him yet, but I'm going to have to give him a little congratulations call and all
for
that.
For sure. So what? He's producing and now he's coming. Wait.
Directing, bro. He's directing.
Oh,
this.
He's directing. Does he have his own production company?
Somebody else's. Some other. Yeah, he does, but some other company's producing it. It's an adaptation. Another woman's in there. I forget her name. She kind of had a big year last year.
Let me try to guess. Who had a big year last year? She's younger
or old?
Indigenous.
I think she's like her whole thing. I think she's an indigenous actor.
Oh, yeah. She's Lily Gladstone. Yeah, Lily Gladstone.
Bro.
She's from the Scorsese movie that I'm blanking on the name. Why can't I think of the fucking name?
It was one of the most recent ones. Or the
last
one.
Yeah, why can't I think of the name? The fucking dude, my short-term memory is done, son.
It's all right. It's all the weed, bro.
It really is. Martin Scorsese... What was his last movie? Oh, Killers of the Flower Moon. That's what it was.
I didn't even see it, bro. But yo, real quick, just shout out to Mark Pellington. This is a guy that
Shout out to Mark Pellington.
Dude, this is a guy that I used to smoke copious amounts of weed in a basement in Harlem.
Yeah.
With my other boy Nick. And
I didn't know he was a New York guy.
No. Well, he spent time in New York, but
how did you meet Link up with him in New York? Long story.
Who?
Or Mark Pellington?
No. He DM'd me like last year, bro. He fucking sent me a DM.
Oh, I thought. Instagram. Oh, okay, gotcha. Copy.
And for me, I like shit my pants because this is a director that I like. I consumed all of his shit for years and years.
That's what you were saying
years,
in New York
dude.
When you guys would get high and just
watch
Pellington
and
stuff.
Watch all his shit, dude. And like, that's when I was like, yo, this
did
universe
he do
is crazy. He did Public Enemy. He did some iconic early hip hop videos. He did some iconic early R&B videos. Do you remember? Set a memory drift.
No, I hate R&B. No.
1991, PM Dawn. PM Dawn, baby.
I don't know PM Dawn, no. Oh, but yeah. Okay, so he kind of, like, early 90s, when music videos really meant something. Like, he was making an impact visually, for sure.
You remember the Foo Fighters' Best of You?
And yeah, of course.
Screaming in the mic. That's fucking Marky Mark. Mark over there,
Pellington.
Bro.
And what was the Pearl Jam video he did? Because we all know Pearl Jam.
The big one. Jeremy. The Jeremy.
Yeah, when the girl, yeah, he brought the gun in.
Yeah. Nah, bro, I hope you get to meet him at one point. This guy's a stellar individual.
Yeah, I know. You've been taking a lot of meetings with him. Like, it's one of these things in Hollywood where you go out, you meet people. We're kind of talking about it earlier. It's a lot of just putting in time, putting in FaceTime with people, and hoping something comes along eventually.
Yeah, man. And it turns out some people are actually cool out here. And they're interested in you. You know, it turns out. It's.
So how did he find out about you?
His intern is a JPEG Mafia fan.
This I do know this story.
And
yes.
I think they were just looking for some fresh blood over there because he does a
through
lot of
through his company
work.
Or just like, yeah, just like company. To link up with.
I guess just to link up with, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this is what people do. Yeah, young creatives meeting sort of the older generation. He's trying to probably get a little influence from you because like he might be a little sour on his taste or whatever.
Hey, that's the biggest compliment if that's sure. true, you know. So shout out to Marky Mark P.
Shout out to Mark Pellington. Shout out to, what do I got on my list today, Tony Sly? We got the Trump at MSG. I don't know if you wanted to get into that. That's a whole different thing. One thing I did want to touch on, because I've been out of the loop a little bit, but I know it's a little late in the news cycle, but the whole Nazi thing with Trump, where everyone is real quick to call Trump a Nazi.
Yeah.
First off, and I've said this before, I really do think that's like some sort of covert anti-Semitism because they are trivializing the Holocaust, right? I mean, I got that from The Sopranos, but it's really the truth. Mm. When you call someone else Hitler and it diminishes what Hitler actually did in a secretive, covert way.
Can you give an example? Like, what's a parallel example, though? Like, what would be... Like what's another like Genghis Khan, right? Like there is none, right?
That's what it is. That's why Hitler is. I mean, Stalin was probably worse. He probably killed more people.
Yeah,
but just from the pure evil standpoint of like manipulation and propaganda, like there's nobody like Hitler, right? Let's be honest with you.
Yeah.
He's one of a kind.
One of a kind.
I mean, no one has the name Hitler.
No.
Like, they demolished the whole family's bloodline forever, as they should have.
Yeah.
Unless he's still alive out there. That's a whole other conspiracy.
Down in fucking Peru, right?
Argentina. They all went to Argentina or some shit.
Yeah.
So the whole thing now, you know, everyone was coming out recently calling Trump a Nazi, and they were intersplicing clips of the Nazi rally at MSG during Trump's MSG performance, and that's super dangerous, dude. I really do.
Wait, who was doing this?
Like NBC or CBS, like as they were covering it or as they were discussing it later on, like one of these talking heads shows, they were like, you know, showing clips of it and then like intersplicing like the MSG from 1933.
Oh my God.
I mean, dude, that's so fucking powerful and so manipulative to the masses. It really is. And I'm not saying that that's the reason Trump got shot, because people like saying that now. Like, the rhetoric from the left is what got Trump shot. I don't really like to say that. I don't know if that's necessarily true. Mm-hmm. But let's just cool it with the Nazi thing. It just diminishes the whole Holocaust thing, and it's insulting to Holocaust survivors and Jewish people alike.
Well,
I know you're a member of the tribe.
I am. I've been told that 15% is okay, actually.
Oh, is that allowed?
That's what I heard.
Okay.
Here's something I want to throw at you. And I'm not in the camp that thinks Donald Trump is an evil man, as controversial. Actually, not controversial in Beverly Hills. This is fucking MAGA land, Beverly Hills, bro.
Yeah, they like him out here.
You know, here's a spin on this. Donald Trump. Okay, I understand he's from New York. He's a New Yorker. He wants to go back home. A lot of New Yorkers support him. A lot of people in the Bronx, Queens, a lot of people, Long Island.
A lot of minorities support him.
And a lot of minorities. But here's the thing. We all know that the Nazis had a huge fucking gathering at Madison Square Garden in like the late 30s, early 40s. Everybody knows this. Why did you have a gathering? Why don't you just do it at Jones Park or in Long Island? Like, I think that if you know that this exists and this is a thing, I don't know why you'd want to play into it if you're the Donald Trump team. Tony Hinchcliffe, why would you bring a roast comedian? He's a roaster. I don't think you should bring a roaster. I don't think you should bring a roaster because the kind of comedy is not going to hit, dude.
Well, it hit in the room.
I heard a couple people were laughing. From what I understood,
well, it's interesting
not everybody was laughing.
I have the clip here.
You know, there's a lot going on. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico. Okay, all right. Okay, we're getting there. Now, again, normally I don't follow the national anthem, everybody.
So he probably was dying. Like, when he was up there, he was probably losing his train of thought. He probably realized it during it, I'm not supposed to be here. This isn't for me.
Then
he threw out that harshest thing. Like, as someone who understands comedy, I'm not a comedian, obviously, but I really do study it. I love comedians. I think they are real truth tellers anymore, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I think what happened is, like, he's like, all right, I got to hit these people over the head with something big, even if it's controversial, even if it's going to get me stabbed later on. And he did that. And people really...
But do you know the... I actually just found out the context of this joke. Do you know it?
No.
The context, all right, and it's not really an excuse for the...
For the outrage?
Unfortunate timing and placement of this joke, bro.
I just thought it was like a regular Puerto Rican joke, like just like any not. Race
Puerto
joke.
Puerto Rico thing. Has a huge trash problem, a huge waste management problem.
Oh, okay.
That's what I gathered as the context of the joke. It has a massive waste issue.
Sure.
But who knows that?
In reality?
Yeah, but nobody knows this joke, bro. You got to make jokes that people know the context to. Sure, you know? Sure.
It's definitely not great if you have AOC going berserk on it. Like, and she was not happy about it, as she's not happy about most things.
Right.
She doesn't seem like someone who likes to have a lot of fun.
You know what, though? I watched her and Tim Waltz. Honestly, there's a couple things she was saying, bro, that I was not. I was like,
look, I think she's
sometimes
just smart.
She makes sense, bro. Sometimes she makes sense.
Sometimes a broken clock is right twice a day.
Hey, I don't disagree.
I
with
think
you.
A lot of people make sense every once in a while, even Trump makes sense every once in a while.
Yes.
I think what the problem is, and why I have such a problem with Democrats or whatever anymore, is because they never concede anything. Like, as people right now, and I don't really like AOC. I just said AOC says a lot of smart things. I think she does. No one on the left would ever say Donald Trump says any smart things ever.
No.
They're very tight on their end.
Yes.
They're very locked up in their opinions. And they're supposed to be the open-minded group, the people that are just progressive. And let's hear new ideas. But, like, if you don't align with them, you're 100% wrong. And that's what I don't like.
Well, because there became...
AOC would never say anything positive about Trump ever. Because she would be like, there is nothing positive to say, blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, but like, he must have done something good in his 4 years. Like, people, not everyone is just rallying around him because of the cult of personality and because of whatever propaganda. Like, he must have something. And I don't really know what they are because I don't get too deep into it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter to me. Like, whatever. Go ahead. You go.
No, I think, here, you know, my big problem with politics anymore is that I think they're irrelevant, dude. I think,
you
know,
politics are irrelevant.
And I'll explain why. You watch WWE? Do you ever watch new pro wrestling?
Not new.
Right, because if you watch it, after 2 seconds, you're like, oh yeah, like this whole, the whole thing's, the whole magic,
like, you already know what it is.
And you just see all these people playing these characters upon characters. Like, back when we watched it, the Ultimate Warrior,
I love that
Hulk, like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, there was no guy who took off his costume. It was Macho Man 24/7 to me, right? So here's the thing. Like, that thing worked. It was powerful. It had meaning. I think the same for politics. I think that, unfortunately, these people, they still are kind of responsible for policies and divergence of funds. But I think that their power and their influence is quite weak. And I think that...
So then who does have the power and the influence, if not politicians?
Elon Musk, Cardi B.
Billionaire.
Putin, right?
Sure.
Like, people who are politicians but also rise above it.
Isn't that what Trump is?
That's the argument.
Yeah,
why would you want that guy? But it turns out not everybody cares necessarily about the true idea of democracy. It seems like right now it's like, it's all about my guy, my girl.
It's all about winning.
It's all about winning, and it's about my person, which is not
better
really
than
democracy.
Your person.
That's not really, that's dictator. It's like, hey, who are we going to vote for dictator? And then once they become dictator, all of our shit better happen. Because if it doesn't happen, then somebody's lying and somebody's stealing and rigging and cheating.
Sure.
And it's crazy where we've gotten. We don't trust anybody.
No,
and we'd rather authoritarians who 100% align with our view. I heard this during COVID. I mean, I remember hearing people be like, before it came out that China was not actually controlling the virus, and that what they're controlling the they were controlling the PR.
Sure. Wait, has that been ruled out that China didn't release the virus? Is that officially not true?
I don't think they've released it, but it's there's a
so what is it from like a wet market, like actually like a bird?
No. In hindsight, that's the science fiction, bro.
Yeah, that's what I thought. In reality,
it seems like the true case is that it came from this lab. The Wuhan fucking COVID lab.
Well, that's what I mean. So China did release the virus.
Not intentionally. I think it just got out, right? And I'm not
anti-China in any way. I'm just saying if they did it, they did it. I mean, what are we going to do here?
Right.
I mean, but oh, we'll go to war over it for sure.
Who?
America. If Trump, like, if there was like concrete evidence that that happened, I mean, that's a direct attack on the people.
This is the only thing that's good about Trump. He's not going to go to war because
he's the most anti-war president I think we've ever had. I swear, that's what I read somewhere.
Trump is good for peace. He's not good for peace of mind, right? Because
he's not good for peace in America.
You're correct.
And that's why I really distance myself from the Trump train because he's too volatile. Like, I don't like any radical shit. And he may not be radical. Like, personally.
Yeah, he does not rise above, though. That's the problem.
No, he never does.
Does not act presidential, even though he was a president. He does. Actually, believe it or not, if you look at his presidency, there are things he did which were good. And then there were not too many things that he did were bad. Now, he did some immigration ban, which was very shoot from the hip. And that was probably one of the worst things he did.
And you had trouble with that, right? Because of Zeta or no? Zeta came here during the Biden administration.
No, and during COVID, which was complex. Immigrating during COVID was a complex situation and it still is.
But I mean, Republicans are going to Republican, right? I mean, of course, they're going to be a little tighter on immigration. And like, this is what I think you were talking about democracy, right? Like, no one wants it to swing back the other way ever. And like, that is true dictatorship. Like, Democrats will never be okay with, oh, well, we had 16 years of Democratic policies. Let's try a Republican. Let's go a little more conservative.
Never.
Conservatives don't want that either. So it's not a thing. But, like, you're right. There's only two or three choices. People want who they want. They want it to stay that way forever. They want what they want now. And so that's
who are you voting for?
Kamala.
Wow.
I don't think I'm going to vote. I really just don't want to vote.
That's a problem. And I implore everybody
Real quick though, what I'm going to tell people, it depends on who I'm around. I'm just going to lie. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
And I understand.
I'm going to tell my family I voted for Kamala because I want to be able to be invited back for Christmas.
I understand.
And I
want to
hang out with my boys at home and I'm going to tell them I voted for Trump.
Yeah. I understand your impulse 100%.
Nothing's real anyway.
Here's my answer to you. You can still go out there. So some of my closest friends who are actually incredibly smart, I'll include you on that list.
I was going to say, I really hope I'm included in that.
They're not voting. And I said, all right, I understand. If you want to go big, big general here and be like, oh, voting doesn't matter, it's all rigged, and it's always been, I'll give that to you. If you voted in previous elections and you're not going to vote in this one, then I got an issue because you buy into the idea of democracy. But for this one, which is actually...
Why? That's me. I definitely voted.
The reason why this is important is not because
the reason why this election is important
to me. Why it could be important is I don't think if Kamala gets in, if Trump gets in, I don't think the world ends. I don't think anything gets worse. I think things just keep going on the way they go. America's kind of on autopilot.
It's because you're a white elitist male.
Yes, precisely.
And nothing matters, and nothing affects us, and like that's what people would say. But honestly,
who would say that?
For someone that's completely radical on either side, probably more on the left, would say like nothing. We don't care because we have it so good because who we are in society.
Well, I wish they fucking saw where I lived and saw my medical reports, and then they have a little different idea.
But
here's the thing. I think why this could be important is that if everybody who said they're sick of it and they don't want to vote for Trump, they want to vote Kamala. They just voted for somebody else. Go Jill Stein, bro. Go Libertarian. Yes,
that's
go a different party. It's not throwing away your vote. What it's showing is future generations that there is the potential for other parties. Imagine that a third party gets even 15% of the vote. Imagine if it gets 10% of the vote. That's a big deal. That's news making. If Jill Stein gets 8% of the vote, that's a huge deal.
She never will.
She could if everybody who's saying they're not going to vote votes for fucking Jill Stein.
But what's so great about Jill Stein?
She's the most woke liberal candidate there is. You can't go wrong. Your family is going to, bro, if you tell them that, they're going to lift you up and do that fucking chair dance.
If I told them I voted for Jill Stein,
bro,
I may, dude, that's actually not a bad idea to actually vote for Jill Stein. Because
that's my go-to.
Is that the only third? No, what
no, you got Cornel West. I forget what no, party I don't he's like in. Him. But then there's a Libertarian Party. You know, unfortunately, that's like the Alex Jones party, so you want to be careful.
I thought
not
that was going... Jill Stein, the Libertarian.
No, she's Green Party.
Oh, that's Ralph Nader, right? Nader used to be the Green Party, right? Or is he something else?
No, Nader was...
I fuck with Ralph Nader. Because yeah, he loves Pearl Jam, and he likes Howard Zinn.
I don't think he was green, bro. I don't think he was green.
Well, what other parties are there?
There's the Libertarian, there's the Green, there's...
I don't know what other ones there are, man.
There's a couple others, dude. There's a couple others. I think even the... I think that's a socialist party in the U.S., dude. The big ones are...
All right, so other parties, the Green, Libertarians, Constitution Party, Natural Law Party.
I have no idea. Yeah, you don't want to fuck with them.
That sounds a little naturalist.
They're going to send us back to Europe, bro, those guys. They're going to be like, okay, the colonialists, get the fuck back to your homeland.
For sure.
Natural law.
That doesn't sound like a great party to be a part of. Yeah, I think moving the needle on some sort of third party is probably the best thing. Unfortunately, you know what I really love? I love Bernie. I got to be honest with you. I fuck with Bernie big time. For most of his policies, I think he's a smart guy. But he's very right when he says that money really matters about how people vote and how the sort of how they're influenced. Like the third parties and the fourth and the natural law parties are never going to have enough money to really reach the masses.
Unless
they have a lot of big backers, but
or they're smart and relevant, a la Barack Obama, 2007.
Yeah, but
he ran
under the Democratic Party. Obviously.
Yes, but he was like Trump, bro. He was all the way on the fringe.
I love Obama.
He was on the fringe. He was on the fringe, and people are like,
"Who is this guy?
Yeah. This freshman senator?" Okay,
and look what he did.
And he became 2-time president.
I fucking love Obama.
Maybe the most influential man. Maybe in the country at this point, I think more than Bill. I mean, he's
more
far
than Elon
surpassed.
Musk.
Elon Musk has got the money, bro. But I think influence. I think Obama's still got the influence.
Sure, I think so too.
Maybe neck and neck with Musk, bro. But I think
Elon's more. He's more of a joking at this point. Unless I don't think conservatives are like love Elon Musk. Do you?
I think that he has aligned himself with them. Oh, and I think here's the thing with conservatives, bro. They can get real friendly real soon if you put up the right con. I noticed on Twitter, dude. You just put up the right content. Everybody congregates. That's tribalistic. That, you know, a deep conservatism is tribalistic, but I think maybe as much as deep liberalism or leftism, you know, they are very tribalistic.
Sure. I don't know if the liberals would really admit that. I think they're a little more like, no, everyone's welcome. But that's how humans are like that.
Yes.
Humans are totally tribal.
Yes, correct.
And I don't, you know, I think a lot of the social stuff and just politics in general goes against our natural just way of thinking and way of being. And that's why, like, you get conflicted in your head. That's why you feel guilty about liking certain things or whatever. Because, like, if we were just all animals, which we are, and, like, there were no social constructs, things would be
hella different.
Dude, the
men with the biggest balls rule.
For sure. Right? And women have zero rights at that point. Like, so people that want to complain and blah, 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 this is the best time in human history. I don't think there's really much debate in that, except the fact that we are white cisgendered men. And, like, that's why it would be nice to have someone who really was against me here, like, you know, because we're kind of on the same team about a lot of things. But I would want somebody to argue and be like, well, you have it good because of this. And then I can go back and forth and be like, well, this is my...
That argument is so subjective. It's so subjective. And it's not a lived-in experience. It's not to generalized... Generalizing is the worst thing that's happened in our modern
society. That's exactly what happens, and that's exactly what's happening in this conversation that I'm saying. Like, they would just be generalizing us the way they're anti-generalizing other people. Like, they don't want white people to generalize black people, but another white person can generalize all white people without question.
Because that's called white supremacy. It's the same thing.
I love hypocrisy. I love catching someone in some sort of hypocritical situation and being like, I don't know about that, and then really seeing the look on their face when they... I love that. Like, when you see
that's why you got to go Jill Stein, bro, because nobody's going to be able to argue with you on this one.
And I'm not going to be able to argue for her.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I don't know. I voted for Jill Stein. Dude.
Actually, dude, if you look at all of her policies, they are all good, dude. It's actually the most, she's the most humane character in a main character in politics.
Where does she stand on AI? Where does she stand on crypto? Like, because a lot of candidates now are going.
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question.
I feel like that's a very huge part of it, because like, people don't want their fucking crypto tax. They don't want a 40% capital gains tax. They don't want this. They don't want that. So I think they both, the two main candidates, Trump and Kamala, they both are pretty crypto friendly, right?
Kamala's beginning. Here's the problem with actually both of them. Trump kind of just bought into the community, and he literally bought the crypto community. Oh, he's one of us. He made an NFT collection.
True.
He's a great marketer. It's what they always say about him, the grifting thing. And he kind of did crypto, and he went to Bitcoin conference and talked there. And he, you know, it's really funny hearing him talk, because he actually kind of understands the whole thing. And from a business sense,
did you listen to him on Rogan?
A little bit.
Yeah. I didn't listen to the whole
thing. But he, what's interesting about him with crypto is he has a way of thinking about crypto in a way that's like, hey, we might be able to extract the money from crypto to help balance our books. And it's fucking fascinating that he thinks that way. Maybe it's like the fucking eighth grader promising a vending machine to the kids when you elect him for president. Sure.
No more Mondays.
But he has a really interesting way of thinking about it and presenting it. I don't know if he gives a shit. The thing with Kamala is, I don't know if she actually cares. I think she has to take a stance. She realized, at least 30, 40 million Americans own some sort of crypto. I got to say something, and I got to be a little populist about it. November 6th, bro, become populists. I'm telling you, both of them.
I know. I just saw Trump in a garbage truck. It's crazy.
I know. And Kamala saying we got to be tight on the border. So they become populist, and that's what happens.
Yeah. Nobody remembers last week or the debates. It's really funny. Only the last week kind of really matters. You're absolutely right. Hey, fresh in my mind, what have you done for me lately? What have you said that I agree with? What have you said that I don't agree with? It's very interesting. I don't know, man. I can't believe we're only about not even a week out. It's gonna be.
Are you
wild.
Voting in California? Oh, you're not voting. You're not voting.
No, I'm gonna go Stein, big time.
Yeah, Stein brothers. Nikki, the Stein brothers.
Stein. I'm going Nikki Stein.
Tony Stein and Nikki Stein. Let's go.
Tony Stein. I got my Beverly Hills ballots. They, you could pre-vote or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you who I am. Who I want to see leave the city, and that's your boy Gascon. Just because he doesn't do anything for crime.
He's getting those Menendez brothers out, though.
Which is fine. I agree with him. Yeah, that's fine. I think the Menendez brothers should be out. Whether the parents did what they did, they must have done something to be lit up like that by their own children, right? It's a pretty aggressive thing to do. Yeah. So do I believe it? It's so hard for someone, I think, to even put themselves in that position or to picture a father doing what they're claiming their father did to them, right?
No, it's crazy.
That's why it's hard for me to even agree with it, because I can't even begin to wrap my mind around what happened.
Yes, you either have to assume one of two things. Either
are they bald face? Is it bald face or bold face?
Bold face.
No, I think it's bald.
Bald? Bald face. Oh, they got no hair on their face.
It's bald face lie or bald or bold face lie. People are out there screaming at their
Is it bald?
I think so, bro. A bald face lie is a statement that is obviously so false that it seems to lack the intent to deceive, but is actually a lie. The term bald-faced comes from the idea of face without hair, and by the mid-1700s, it could also be seen as unconcealed, shameless, or impudent. Okay, so bald, dude. Okay. So the Menendez brothers, is it a bald-faced lie, or is there some truth and they sort of remember it differently, or is everything 100% true? If everything's 100% true, it's very...
Then it's fucked up. It's so fucked up.
It's so bizarre, dude. I really can't even...
Here's the thing which is interesting. This is the only thing that kind of turned me on. Is that I when you look into what their life has been in prison, the one guy, I think Lyles
a little more the ringleader.
Yes, and he's become a super duper spokesperson for child abuse. I mean, he's dedicated his life to very good things, and either that's calculating and he still wants to get out of jail, or this is really what happened and these guys are really...
Oh, so you're saying he wouldn't be this far into it. He wouldn't continuously be going if he was lying. You believe him.
I think I err more on the side of believing that something happened. I also believe that if you do something terrible and you violate a law, you should be held responsible, right?
Sure.
And they They like destroyed these people, these two human beings. Like,
I mean, they more than like parents.
It's insane.
They shot like 15 times. So there's some venomous hate behind what they did. And they like, I guess my point is like, yeah, I believe something happened, but to the extent of it, I mean, let's just think of it as you and your brother or whatever. Like if you did something like this, you would, as a kid, you would just think, okay, how bad can I make this sound so that everyone feels bad for me?
Yeah.
And like, I'm not blaming the victims. People are going to be so angry about that. But I'm not, of course I'm not. I'm saying if it happened, it's horrendous. I think they should be let out of prison. But I guess we'll never know. That's something you'll never really know.
You'll never know. You'll never know. There's so much in life. You'll never know.
And you saw the Ryan Murphy show. Obviously, we were just talking about it. Did you see any of his other stuff? Like, are you a fan of Ryan Murphy's, like the OJ stuff, the Andrew Cannon and the Versace one? Did you see that one?
Oh, he did the OJ miniseries? Yeah. Oh, no wonder it's so good. Yeah, he's incredible, dude.
Yeah, how great is that?
Absolutely incredible, the whole thing. There's nothing bad about these episodic stuff he does. There's nothing bad about it.
I know. He's just
such
never,
high level.
He never misses. Yeah. Ryan Murphy really never misses.
Yeah, high level.
Okay, so Gascon's getting them out. Or Kim Kardashian is, I don't know. There's a big, now there's a big celebrity movement to get them out, as I think they should
be. Yeah, well, she's like a lawyer now, right?
And yeah, she used to be a whore, but now she's a lawyer.
Yeah, they're both one of the same. I mean, listen. Yeah, I mean, for sure. That's true.
The lawyers whore themselves out. I want Gascon out of here, so I will be voting for the other guy. I don't know who it is, but I'm terrified, dude, of things. And it's not even really for me. I worry about my girlfriend a lot.
Yeah.
I really do. And like, I really love her and I care about her. I don't want anything that I cannot imagine anything happened to her. And like, if it was someone that could have been arrested for something else before and they let him out early, like, the rage that I would have for the rest of my life, it would be insane. So like, I can't have that happen.
Yeah.
I'm always telling her, pay attention, like be careful, because there are sick, savage animals out there that do fucked up shit.
Listen, Gascon, I agree with you.
He's crazy. He's too nuts with it. He's too loose with it.
Here's the only, if we're talking about, you know, the pendulum of culture, of politics, of policy, I think he was actually important. Okay, I think it's time for him to go bye-bye, but I think he was important. Okay. I'll explain why.
I see.
He was important for the idea that justice also belongs to people who have been injusticed by society. So his whole thing was using social justice to make a change for people in prison, people who maybe shouldn't be spending so long for certain crimes.
And the youth. I know he's big on the youth.
So for sure. In one sense, I think that the time of Gascon made sense. It was timely. It's bye-bye time now for him. But he set a precedent, which is not bad.
Sure.
Remember, the woman that running for office locked people up for like smoking weed, dude. And those men who are in prison for like smoking weed or maybe just selling a little bit, I hope they're on their way out because they should not
be. Oh, who was the woman before? She was a black woman,
I'm talking
right?
about Kamala, bro. The DA San Francisco.
I thought you were talking about the DA that was here before in LA. Because that was a woman too. Jackie something. Jackie Lacey? Does that sound
something
familiar?
Something like that.
Yes, you're right. So the pendulum swung back and we got someone that was super, for sure. Maybe it made sense at the time. But I think there's a lack of caring about victims. And like, there's a real weird thing that happened where no one gives a shit about victims anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think they do. Or just publicly. Like, the onus is like, really like, let's protect the criminal. Let's give him the least amount of time. And it's because all the social injustice that did happen. But that's not really fair now, is it? Because, like, look, it doesn't matter about things. Like, people want to talk about, like, whatever, institutional racism. And 100% that exists. I'm not even saying that. But that doesn't matter when, like, there's a brick being knocked over your head. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, because someone might be black or brown and they did a crime doesn't mean that they should just be let out early because they're black or brown.
I don't agree with that. Well, but I think actually,
because and only because we did stuff. And only because we did stuff to really bad to black and brown people for years.
Yeah, your boy Christopher Columbus came here. No, we're both descended from that guy's legacy, I guess. But he wrote for Portugal, so it's really the Portuguese motherfucker.
Of course. I'm saying fucked up shit has happened all over the world for so many years, and more fucked up shit has happened to black and brown people than any other race. I'm not saying that's not true, but in this day and age, it doesn't matter to me. The history doesn't matter to the victims.
The most fucked up stuff happened
here
to Jewish people.
Okay, let's get into it.
Do you not agree? I mean, if we're gonna be extreme here and say who got the hardest,
Jews have been persecuted from the dawn of time.
And then before that, I think it's tough because we're talking about this. We're talking about in the context of us. Don't forget there were Inquisitions in Europe. Don't forget that one Inquisition was all about killing all the Muslims. The other was about killing all the non-Christian believers.
Sure.
So don't forget that, like,
the Crusades.
The Crusades were the wars, right? And the Inquisitions.
Against the Muslims. I don't know what the Inquisitions are.
Inquisitions were, like, just straight killing millions of people.
Genocide.
It was not about race or ethnicity, though. It was about non-believers, heretics. The Catholic Church killed many, many people. The Spanish Inquisition. There was actually two Inquisitions.
I've heard of the Spanish Inquisition.
There was two Inquisitions.
So
actually,
that means they were killing the Spanish people, or the Spanish were doing the killing?
Spanish were doing the killing. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were cleansing religiously.
Yes.
It's all based
on
the
non-believers.
Sure. I think what's interesting about, the Jews have had it a lot, but I think there's less Jews in the world, right, than African-Americans. What did you say?
Yeah, but like what was it, like 6 million were killed? I mean, you can't compare that number recent history. You can't compare that number.
Of course, the Holocaust is a whole separate thing.
You can't compare that number, and I think that it's as much as
they're white, though. That's why it gets downplayed,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
They don't call themselves white, I'll tell you that much.
Why?
No, they don't. They do not
identify. Aren't they European white?
They do not identify. You're right. Ashkenazi, it means you're a fucking Polish. You're German. You're something. Yes, you're from Eastern Europe.
Are you Ashkenazi?
Of course, Ashkenazi. Yeah,
they're
yeah.
like the smartest people on the planet or in the world.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Like, for real. Like, their
and
brains.
You got the most diseases, too, unfortunately. Autoimmune and shit.
Groat's disease, Crohn's.
A lot of bad shit. My dad had Crohn's. A lot of bad shit running through Ashkenazi genes, unfortunately.
That's odd. That's odd.
No,
really.
It's. I don't think so, because they're a small group of people that usually.
Their immunity is not great.
They keep close, right?
Sure.
In terms of family,
sure.
They keep close.
They certainly
so
do.
So probably the lineage is a little tainted. The genetics,
of course. I think I understand where you're going.
But real quick, I want to back up that. Go all the way back
beep.
To the crime stuff.
Beep.
With Gascon.
Beep.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
So I don't think the onus does not lie on elected officials, though. There is something twisted in society and out of control that is not just the onus of elected officials. And I think that's where we're running into issues, because we're actually creating these super characters, both superheroes
we're giving them
and
too
super
much
villains.
Power.
Yeah, if you make somebody a super villain like Trump, you make him powerful and influential.
Of course, the liberals got him elected, by the way. They'll never want to admit that one, but that's the truth.
And the media, I would say the media got him elected.
Sure, they're the liberals.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is. I just think that there is something that
so then
is,
who where, so where does the onus go? We need to take it back to the people.
Yes, and I think that
meaning like you COVID, don't give him so much power. You don't hate Gascon so much. You don't love Gascon so much. You kind of are just right in the middle on him. Like, okay, he's an elected official. Let him work for us. Let him do his job. But let's not necessarily like suck his dick
I
for every good thing
crime,
and like kiss his ass. Whatever.
That's correct. And I don't think crime is up because of him. I think that there's been some bad moves happened at his administration, whatever
sure.
you call it, his office.
I don't think there's one
but
thing
like,
that you could tie and say this is why crime is up, but it's not helping.
There's
people
not.
Know that they're not going to get in as much trouble.
I think you're right.
For sure.
I think
that runs through people's minds. They're not the idiots. It's almost
right.
like there's like it's a paternalism where like we need to protect these people because they're not as good as us. That's what the liberals do more than anything, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like they go, we're going to protect this group of people because they can't really figure it out for themselves. That's the most racist thing that they can do.
It's
them special privileges and special laws because of who they are, their race. It's ridiculous. That's what I sound like Candace Owens now, by the way.
No, I think a large group of people don't interact with other groups of people and just assume things about them, good, bad.
For sure.
And that's the United States is a huge multicultural experiment, and some people are part of it and some people aren't, you know, and that's the problem. A lot of people who aren't a part of it don't understand that a bunch of people that you think aren't voting for Trump are. And, I think that there's a lot of assumptions, and this country is so big and spread out, and we think we all know each other because media is a magnifying glass. But when you really get out there, everybody's kind of cool with everybody. I had a shoot in Texas. I was just like the artist, you can imagine who it was four or five days late. And I just started road tripping, and it was the most... That's Wolfie over there.
Sure. Wait, hold on. I have to get that because it could be my computer that's here. We're going to let
Did
it
you pause it?
No, just let it All right, everybody, we're back. Where were we? Do you remember?
Well, yes. All I wanted to say was I had taken a road trip to Texas, right?
Not a road trip.
It was supposed to be a work project, and it turned into a road trip. And like,
you drove down there?
No, but I the guy gave us a fucking Dodge Charger.
Oh, like so while you're in Texas, yeah.
And I was amazed, bro. Texas is. Have you been to like Austin, San Antonio, Houston?
I've been
area?
To Austin. I've been to El Paso, like right
I've
by the border.
Yeah, but I mean. Texas is a wow. If you think like Texas, we all Texas. No, dude, Texas is like a microcosm of America. Do you know how many different types of people are in Texas?
Sure,
dude?
I think there's an influx of people going to Texas. People love going to Texas.
It's
now.
Amazing. It's a huge state.
It's super liberal in some areas, super conservative. I think it's more conservative though.
Yes, but I don't think it's scary conservative. Like, you don't walk around and like fear that somebody's gonna like shoot you. In the desert of California, I feel that.
Yeah, you get more okay? scared out here. I know. And, like, we go out to like San Bernardino.
Dude.
Or something. Yeah, yeah, I
know. Okay, so I was at a gas station and it's like beautiful, bro. You see all different types of people eating
sure.
their crappy gas station sandwich.
Sure.
And I'm just like, this is crazy. Nobody would assume I'm on a crappy highway on my way to San Antonio, and it's like the UN at the gas station, and everybody's chill. There's no problems, dude. And it's like,
have you thought about moving to Texas? I've thought about it because it's super cheap, and like you see these things on Instagram where you go, "Oh, this is what $350,000 buys gets you in Texas." And
no,
like,
it's incredible. I agree with
I know,
you. No, I'm Cali'd out, bro.
You're never leaving.
I don't think
I've
so.
Heard you talk about Vegas, Nevada.
I love Vegas. I love Nevada, bro.
Why do you love Vegas so much?
To me, it's like,
so artificial.
You know what? Yes, right. It's the biggest because it's like living in the most defunct shopping mall from the 1980s. But
like a great analogy.
But right outside the shopping mall is some of the most beautiful fucking landscape on earth, dude.
And you love the desert. You love the desert.
And I like that dichotomy too.
Yeah.
Of being inside this like crappy miniature golf course wasteland. But then the minute you drive 15 minutes out, it's insane, gorgeous.
Would you want to live in the proper Vegas city? No, that's crazy. Would you? You're a little crazy, Tony Slack.
I know. I mean,
I think I can see you going to Z to pack up. In Vegas, baby.
It depends, bro. I mean, I made her move all the way here from Budapest.
That's
so.
True. Does she love LA? Or she wants to go back to New York? Or she has?
No. She's an LA girl, bro.
Now she is.
Yeah, she's an LA girl. She's an LA girl.
I know. I see
she's
her
an LA woman, bro. Like, you know, straight up, bro. Straight up.
She works in Beverly Hills, walks down Sunset.
Yeah. You know, I mean, she makes contacts for me left and right, bro. She's incredible. She's incredible.
Yeah, she's a great schmoozer. I saw her at the party that we were at. It was like an artsy-fartsy LA real.
Thanks for coming out, bro.
That was super fun because me and my girlfriend, we don't really mingle that much. Right. And like, it was super fun. And the kid Randall was there and he's fun as shit. Like, just meeting new, interesting people.
You need Randall
people.
On the pod, bro.
I know. And I think he's kind of like nitty gritty, even though he probably doesn't play that role most of the day. But when he called me a pussy at the party,
you were like, my man.
I fucking loved it, dude. And he even caught himself and he was like, oh shit. He's like, I don't really get to talk that way much. And I was like, yeah, because you knew I could take it because you could sense it.
Yeah, he's a man. I love him.
Yeah, he seemed like a knock around coach, sort of bullshitting guy. All right, let's end on some crypto stuff, Tony Sly. What are your hot new crypto tips out there for everybody?
All right, did you hear about Luce?
Luce coin? Is that a ghost thing?
No. So Luce,
how do you spell it?
This is crazy. L-U-C-E. Okay.
Okay. Luce.
This is what's crazy about crypto, and I don't understand why everybody's not in this. My grandmother should be in this. The crypto is
even these sort of alt meme coins. Like, you think people should just
meme coins are.
Is that a Luce?
Gonna be the biggest thing in this cycle. Forget your Cardano. Forget all of this, bro.
Forget my XRP.
Dude, I was looking at the stock market. Like, your Apple stock went up like 17% from last year. Great, you know, or maybe like 45%. Dude, these cryptos go up thousands of percent in a week. It's about timing. It's about following culture. So let me explain Luce coin. The Vatican, the Pope. They come out with a press conference last week and they literally put out on a table a vinyl toy of a character, a young kid named Luce. And they go, this is our new mascot. The Roman Catholic Church has a mascot called Luce. It turns out Luce looks like one of the biggest NFT collections called Milady. I don't actually think there's a lot of semblance.
Wait, what do you mean looks like?
Dude, if you look
at the NFT. What's Milady?
Milady is the biggest NFT collection. Each one is like $20,000, and it's a huge collection. The
mascot, this little like sort of like action figure person, looks like what? Oh, it looks like it could be part of the collection.
He looks like the artist who made him took inspiration from this huge, degenerate, edgy, just trash lord collection named Milady. Highly controversial collection of degens. You know, there's a whole group of them which are the racist. I'm not kidding. Crypto has its issues.
Sure.
So what happens is that comes out. And people from Milady make a meme coin called Luce because everybody's saying, hey, Luce.
Very smart.
So remember, Luce is almost, Milady's are almost bordering satanic in their vibes. So how ironic that the Pope just introduced a character that looks
but
like.
But unbeknownst to the Vatican.
And that's what's fun about it, right? Yeah, yeah. So Luce coin, dude, goes up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of percent. All you have to do right now.
How much is a Luce coin? One.
I don't even think it's like 7 cents. But remember, it started at like 0.000 cents, sure. Right? All you have to do is see things happen, right? Trump gets shot. Immediately go into the crypto market and find the latest coin that says, you know, assassination token or, you know, whatever, dude.
It's like that?
So, yes. The night. Dude, do you know about Polymarket?
Yeah, I know Polymarket.
You know Polymarket. I mean,
yeah, they bet on like they give
using Matic, right? And I mean,
they give you the outcomes or the trends of like certain Kamala versus Trump. Like, I'm always,
correct.
Yeah,
correct. And like,
and they're pretty accurate.
I think so. I don't know.
Okay,
so
it's not really tested
yet. Honestly, but like,
yeah, I don't get
it. You know, you could have bet on how many times Trump was going to say a word during his debate, and then if you put a lot of money down, dude, you could have done better than any sports game bet. I'll tell you that much, and it's legal too. By the way,
I can't believe there's more and more ways to bet and lose your money now. That's what it really is. There's another there's another thing that's just like that just came out,
mm-hmm.
where I guess they are using the Polygon market. Like their trends are based off of that, and you just bet through their app. Go ahead, sorry.
All I was going to say is that crypto is it slots? Is it casino? Kind of, but like, it's also just like, it's culture, dude. It's culture.
If you pay
it's
attention.
Capitalistic culture. It's a fun capitalistic endeavor. It's like a game.
Sure.
You can make money at it. I think it's totally the future. It's not going where it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until people don't even realize that they're doing it. And I think
Jesus.
It behooves everybody to understand it and to at least try it, because it has certainly helped me out in certain ways when I'm work is slow and stuff. I mean, it's actually it'd be like somebody telling you like in like the 60s or something, or the 90s, like, you know, stay away from the stock market, bro. Like market, if you're not an idiot, you can learn a lot about economics, about culture, about people. You can learn a lot.
And yeah, my old man was like anti-stock market, and that's why he doesn't have any money.
My old man too. That was because they, and I don't want to assume your dad, but like the blue collar guys of the '90s were like, "Fuck the man." Somehow they're like the Trump guys now, which I don't understand. but Trump was kind of like riding out for them back in the '90s too, actually. But
he was just always against it. He said, "I don't like stocks," but if you did like it a little bit or put a little bit away, you could be better off now, or you could have taught me a little something.
Yeah, bro. And like, it's really just like, it's just a financial lesson. It's an economic lesson, macroeconomics, culture, people.
So you think it's going to be a hard lesson to learn if you don't get into crypto now?
Oh, I don't think it's going to be a hard lesson. I think it's like, whatever, it's just going to happen. And you're going to like travel to some country, and it's like, they're going to be like, oh, our currency is Bitcoin. You got to convert to Bitcoin. And you're not even going to realize you're converting to Bitcoin. You're going to get like, instead of like converting to Euro in Switzerland, you're going to get like a debit card, and it's going to be like digital currency, which is basically a Bitcoin. You're going to be using it. You're not even going to realize you're using blockchain. You're not even going to realize it. You know, you can use Bitcoin in El Salvador, dude. I go down there right now my phone.
Isn't that the national currency?
It is national currency. Yes.
So I don't understand what that means. There's no cash.
I'm almost positive there's cash. Yes.
There has to be.
But it's a primary means of currency. And guess what? Pennsylvania just allowed Bitcoin, I believe, to be used for taxes. All different states
God.
Yeah, dude, because these local governments particularly are not dumb, dude. They understand.
Well, I would assume that the White House or whatever, our government has bought some crypto. I would have to assume there's a section of it that's
they
doing
were
it.
Hacked. They had a wallet hacked, dude. They had millions and millions hacked recently. Yes. The U.S. is the largest owner of Bitcoin, I believe. And that's because they've confiscated it from criminals. So the United States is the largest owner of Bitcoin. Unironically, ironically, it's crazy, actually. But
yeah, I could see that being like the basis of our economy soon. Not that soon, but like instead of gold, it's like how much Bitcoin do you have? Like this drives what the dollar would be.
I think this is my theory. I actually think it's going to go U.S. It's going to go with digital coins, digital dollar, and I think that you're going to be able to trade all the different cryptocurrencies with. So the dollar becomes kind of like the stable coin. The stable coin, Tether, USDC, they are highly controversial because they're a way of storing your crypto without being taxed and moving things around. And it's not money laundering. It's a thing. Well, not yet. Once the U.S. gets rid of them, which is probably going to happen, then the U.S. probably becomes the main stablecoin, and they can track digitally all of your purchases. But I don't think all the other cryptos go anywhere. I think XRP, Ethereum, the meme coins, Shiba, Doge, they're all here to stay. It's just the government needs the main one to fall under their jurisdiction.
Then why? You think that'll push everything up or push everything else down, or there's no telling?
I don't think it does anything. I think
it just becomes another transaction.
It's another transaction. And here's the thing. It just becomes harder to lie on your taxes. That's all. It becomes harder to lie about money transactions. You know? It makes paying for things with cash harder, transferring things with cash harder, gold, silver, all the hard assets becomes harder to move large quantities once that happens. But
yeah, it always blows my mind. The crypto, I always start getting really like introspective. I'm like, this is just such a weird, everything's moving so quick. The AI, the crypto, it's really just a completely different world we're living in than what we grew up in. That shit is gone.
Well, I love that you said that because I came to the realization recently that society moves really fucking quickly in short spurts of time. Like the biggest thing to happen before the Industrial Revolution, what was it? Maybe the Renaissance? And what was that, like 300 or 400 years before that? Industrial Revolution happens. Electricity,
and it happens quick.
And it happens quick, and it compounds so fast.
True.
And then you kind of stack. Like, the Industrial Revolution basically took us to, like, us being on the moon. Like, men being on the moon. That's insane.
And then it was the technological revolution, right? Is that where we're at now?
I think the technological digital revolution is the fallout, is the dissipation of the Industrial Revolution.
Sure.
And I don't know, we're either headed for what would be a modern day dark age where nothing really pops off for a while, and maybe this AI thing kind of like, it just pops and then it kind of just plateaus for a long time.
Because like, what else can be done?
Dude, you need extraordinary events, like COVID. You need extraordinary circumstances for things to pop off like that. And don't forget,
I think that moved fucking crypto. I think the COVID thing like moved crypto. It definitely moved AI. Like everything became very, you're in your house all the time. So it just completely changed. Like you don't interact as much.
You nailed it. Because you don't interact, it intensifies political ideas, ideologies. It intensifies them to the degree that right now everybody's talking about civil war. I'm so sick of this civil war thing. Stop. That's boomer talk, bro. Why are we doing a disservice to our young people by saying that a civil war is coming?
It's crazy. You think it's too crazy. That's just the media, or that's a small pocket of people that are angry or whatever, like these Proud Boys or whatever, like
or
Antifas.
Old people that are like, they're in their scared. 60s, and like they got a house and they got dough, but they're letting all their sons and grandkids know that like if this person gets elected, it's the end of the world. It's crazy. You already had a good life. You're still alive. Why are you doing that to young people? It's crazy.
We should get a boomer on the show.
My grandmother's ready.
She's not a boomer, dude. She's got.
Oh, she's like a super boomer. Actually.
No. What would she be? She
golden era.
Yeah, or the greatest generation.
The greatest generation. The greatest.
Yeah, I would love to get your grandmother on here.
She's ready, bro.
All right, Tony Sly. Let's wrap it up. We're here going an hour 15. Hell of a time. I always enjoy having a guest on, especially you. We get to talk. We get to fucking hash things out. Love you, Bo.
I think you do great work. I do.
Thanks, dude. I'm going to try to keep it going, man. People are like, some people like it, some people don't. But hey, I don't really care.
That's good.
Yeah, I know. I just like to move the needle a little bit.
Yes, that's good.
All right. Thank you all so much. Happy Halloween. Don't do anything crazy. Don't get in trouble. Don't do blackface. Save your job. Save your money. And we'll see you all next week. Free Puffy.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? This is this.